Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb. Good Monday to you here on SportsMap Radio. Hey, Brett Boone is going to join us in hour three. We'll talk to him, former Mariner and Reds, and he played for a bunch of teams.
That's good.
Yeah, we'll talk to him. That's good. But what is the good of the day?
The good of the day. You know what? I saw a clip over the weekend, and I could not wait to talk to you about it.
Okay.
I thought for sure you were going to bring it up earlier, but I'm glad you didn't.
Okay.
And that is what Ellie De La Cruz did this weekend.
Yes, I know. It was really great.
So pretty much in two pitches, I mean, he gets on base. He gets a base hit, a little single into left center field. Nothing too crazy to write home about, your standard base hit. But in two pitches, he stole second, third, and home.
He's toying with everybody now. He's making a mockery of
game. He stole second. There was actually a play made. I mean, the throw wasn't in time. The very next pitch, he steals third because no one's on third base.
Right.
And why would you be? He's so fast that the third baseman couldn't get over there in time and just said, eh. And the catcher didn't make the throw down the third. But apparently, while the catcher is throwing the ball back to the pitcher, and the pitcher isn't really keeping an eye on him, Ellie De La Cruz is just slowly walking down the third baseline.
Uh-huh.
And then steals home.
And he steals home.
I mean,
hardly hear anybody steal home.
No, I know.
It's a lost art.
But the fact that you went in one inning, second, third, home, is amazing to me.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. He is so lightning fast. It's crazy.
I'm just waiting for him to steal first now.
Does he have an inside the park home run yet? I want to know. I don't think
I don't
because
know if he
is,
has.
I would have seen it a million times.
But like I've mentioned before, like we've talked about in the good, the bad, the dumb, that his first hit was a double that he turned into a triple.
Right.
It's a double by anybody else's standards.
I said this, I think, a week ago. I said, this is the guy. Maybe it was before I went on vacation. I can't remember. I said, this is the guy where if you're an infielder, you bobble the ball on a ground ball.
You're done.
Don't even throw it.
We talked about, he had a ball to Jose Abreu, who was like 15 feet behind first base.
Right.
And so Jose Abreu, he fields it cleanly. It's a hard hit ball. It's an awkward position. You know, Jose Abreu was on a knee. He has 15 feet to go. Ellie De La Cruz would have 90 and still beat him to the bag.
Still beat him in the bag.
So it doesn't matter. Yeah, if you bobble the ball, don't even bother making a play. Just hold on to it.
He's
That's when you hear the rest of the team just say, eat it.
That's right. Just eat it. Don't throw it. Don't bother.
Throw it. Don't worry.
Because you're going to panic and you're going to throw it over his head and he'll be home.
Yeah.
So don't do it.
Just
throw it over his head.
Yeah, he would be home.
Seriously, if you panic and throw it over the first baseman's head, and the ball's just rolling along, and
hitting the wall,
hit the wall and rolling up to the outfield, he's gone.
Are there still bullpens on the sidelines, or they've gotten rid of all those?
Yeah,
remember back?
Remember that? Yeah,
yeah. If it hits over there, don't worry about it.
It's ridiculous.
Give it to him.
He's so fast and so good. He's good, man. He's such a joy to watch. We get these guys, and I hope it lasts. I hope he is a megastar for years to come because he's fun, man. He's good for baseball. He's good for baseball. He's electric to watch. You feel like you missed out if you don't see it or watch him or whatever. And it's hard because it's all local, but they gotta start sticking this team on national TV every day.
Yeah.
It's
a shame that he didn't qualify for the All-Star game. I mean, they tried to get him to do it, do the home run derby. He said no.
No.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I think he has hit a couple of home runs, but we know that's not his forte.
That's not his forte.
I think what would be more exciting is have someone hit a home run and see how fast he can get around the bases before the ball comes down.
That's true. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. As soon as it's launched, you start running. See what happens. How far can you get before it lands? That's a good point. All right, what's the bad of the day?
He circled the bases four times.
Unbelievable.
I actually have two.
Okay.
Two bads of the day. Because the first one is really, I mean, it's just bad for you.
Me?
You.
Uh-oh.
And that was the story or the news that came out that J.J. Watt was all set to join the Steelers.
I know. Yeah. That's right.
But the reason, it's not totally bad because the reason why he didn't join the Steelers, because, you know, we all remember he was, you know, a highly sought after free agent, even though he's old and been injured a lot, you know, still J.J. Watt. But the reason why he didn't join the Steelers or didn't want to really push that was because TJ was going through his own contract negotiations, and he didn't want to interfere.
That's pretty good brotherly love right there.
Because he figured that if he's over there, then they're negotiating for both Watts, and that might hurt TJ in the long run. Which I can understand that. I can get that logic, but, you know, I really wish maybe he held off on the Cardinals and signed after TJ got his contract. That way, you know, we could have had all three Watt brothers on the same team.
I've thought about this many times with players when they want to play with a brother that's in the league or whatever, and I always go, is that good? Is that we do, because we automatically think that's awesome.
Yeah.
But is it good? Like, do you want your brother? Like, you're an adult. You're not 15 anymore, and you're not, like, you know, giving each other noogies or anything like that. But do you want? Are there drawbacks to it where you go, I don't really want my brother here?
Derek and TJ aren't on the same side of the ball.
Right.
So it can work that way because one's offense, one's defense. They're not interfering with each other. I wonder if TJ and JJ, what if there would have been any interfering?
Yeah, like when you're on the defense and it's like one guy's going to be the leader, the other guy's, you know, leader of the defense, the other guy's could be the leader of the defense. And then your brothers, you love each other, and maybe they have a different dynamic than other brothers, but I always wonder how much of it.
Yeah, JJ would have to step back because he got to realize it's TJ's team, but can he?
But I agree with you. Like, even as beat up and injured as he'd been, it would have been great.
It would have been fun to see, yeah.
Fun. Hey, I got nothing else. I got a division where I got Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson's now signed. Odell Deshaun Beckham's Watson. On the Ravens, Deshaun Watson. So I'll take anything I can as a little entertainment value. It's the only thing I got to look forward to is whether or not they can just have a winning season. That's really it.
Yep.
We shall see. But what's the second bad?
The other bad, and I really don't know what to make of this. I'm curious about your take on it. Uh-huh. Wheel of Fortune execs.
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up. I saw this on vacation.
Feel that Vanna White is replaceable.
Yeah, and she wants more money.
Like she wants more money.
She's been making, okay, please forgive me here because I know it's a big number, but she's been making $3 million for a long time.
Right.
Like, and she says, look, I've been on this thing for a while now. I've been making the same money.
For about 40 years.
I need a raise. I've been making the same money. Can I at least get money? And they're like, yeah, no. How's that? How about that? No. Like,
I'm thinking because Pat Sajak was 70.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's leaving the show. We all know that he's leaving the show. He's being replaced by Ryan Seacrest. Vanna White is 66. And she's been on the show, let's be honest, she's been on the show since his whole life because, I mean, it's hard to think of Wheel of Fortune without Vanna White.
Well, okay, let me ask you this. Let me put it in this context. Remember when Johnny Carson left The Tonight Show?
Yeah.
Jay Leno came in?
Mm-hmm.
Doc Severinsen left?
Yes.
Ed McMahon left?
That's the point I'm getting to.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if the execs were thinking to themselves, well, Pat Sajak is leaving, you know, Vanna's sure to go, right?
Yeah.
And she's not. She's wanting to renegotiate. She's wanting to say, because let's face it, I mean, she doesn't have a hard job. She works 4 days a month.
I would do this if I was Will. I know. If I was Wheel of Fortune, I'd say, look, we're going to do something new here. We're going to have Ryan's going to take over the show now. We're going in kind of, we're going to go in this new direction. Vanna, here's $7 million to get out of here. Like, we know you want to still do this, but we're going to give you a lump sum, and we want somebody else. Like,
yeah.
How do you fire her, right? Like, if you bring in a 24-year-old model, she's going to get a lawyer in 3 seconds.
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean? Like, if they go, oh, we're going to pair up Ryan Seacrest with some hot young Victoria's Secret model,
yep.
she'd be on a phone to a lawyer within a blink of an eye.
What if they said, we're going to pair Ryan Seacrest up with Livy Dunn?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm going to keep it sports related.
Oh, Livy Dunn, yeah.
You know, Livy Dunn now is the new letter turner.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. She'll get a lawyer tomorrow.
Yeah.
If not the second that happens. But I also understand that they might want to do what, like, you see on those late night shows where it's like when Jay Leno came on, like, the whole set looked different. Like,
yeah, you got, no, because you have Marcellus to make it.
Like, was the band director and everything.
Yeah, when Jay Leno came on, he had to make it his own.
He had to make it his own. Does that happen here where Seacrest is not just a host of a thing? He's not trying to get his new thing.
Even moving forward, I mean, when Jay Leno passed the torch and it went to Conan first, Conan made it his own.
That's right.
And then Jimmy Fallon brought the show back to New York and made it his own. And then, you know, look at, I mean, all those late night talk shows, they go in, they put their own stamp on it. Or
sure.
Is, And I think that's part of the problem with Jeopardy right now, that Alex Trebek is gone, and you know, it's still the same set.
And by the way, I think Ryan Seacrest is going to work.
Oh, it with will.
This. I think it'll work. I'm not a huge Ryan Seacrest fan. He's not my
no, because it's probably because it's shoved down your throat.
Audience. Yeah, that's my thing with Ryan Seacrest is I can't. He must have the greatest agent in Hollywood, because it's like people are like, oh, he's way too busy to do this. Well, we still want him anyway. They're like, yeah, well, he can squeeze you in on Saturday the 13th, and then you'd have to film a whole bunch on the 21st. No, done. We'll do whatever. Like, he must have created his client.
Or could he be made available for $10 million more?
Right, exactly. It's crazy. But I think the audience will be okay with Ryan. All right, we'll continue the good, the bad, and the dumb next.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll continue in the good, the bad, and the dumb. We have a dumb to do, or is
we no? We do. Bad, we, right? We haven't done a dumb because we had two bads. So I mean, the dumb could be you and I talking about Ryan Seacrest during the break.
That's true. Before we get to that, we all know about the speed of sound, but you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are a lot of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You can even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because you drive over the speed limit, you could be the danger that is beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up to you, paid for by NHTSA. All right, let's get to the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day? I mean, this one is pretty clear cut, because this dumb of the day can only happen at Wimbledon.
Oh, only at Wimbledon.
At Wimbledon, and that's when a judge had to go, ladies and gentlemen, if you're opening a bottle of champagne, don't do it as the players are about to serve.
Oh, that's fantastic. Seriously? They're popping champagne during
apparently,
a tennis match?
I'm not sure who it was. There was somebody, it was during a women's match. Potapova, I think, is her last name. She was about to serve, and right as the ball's tossed up in the air, you hear pop.
My goodness. That's unbelievable.
Only at Wimbledon. Because I can't.
Oh, sorry. I was popping some champagne. Didn't mean to bother your serve. Ha ha. Pour it, please. Thank you.
Thought this one was going to be a little quieter.
Play on. I didn't mean to look too excited there. But go ahead. Play your game. Goodness gracious. Wimbledon.
Fantastic. I mean, I can't think of a more Wimbledon thing. Like, you can't do that. You would never hear that in the Super Bowl, right?
No. Of course not. I think the whole quiet please thing in golf tournaments and tennis tournaments are really ridiculous.
It really is.
Every now and then you get a golfer that says, I don't need it to be quiet when I'm over a putt. Talk.
Yeah. Move.
I'm zoned in.
Tennis is worse because all you hear is, quiet please.
That's it. Quiet please.
Quiet please.
Yeah, and then they start
and they're
quiet.
Screaming and grunting. It's like,
screaming,
dude.
Screaming and hollering.
I'm wondering if tennis players at some point go, you know what? Can you guys make some noise to drown out the noise?
Yeah.
Because I sound like I'm doing something else and I'm
How
not.
How come people don't talk or scream and yell during the play? So once the ball is served, do I need to stay quiet during a tennis match?
I guess so. You got to concentrate.
Yeah. I remember when I was at a golf tournament once when I was a kid. And, I was probably a teenager. And I remember I was looking down on a piece of paper, and I saw something really interesting on something. It was like the map or something like that, or whatever. And I looked up to talk to my father, I think was there. And I you know how you just see, you're focused on something, and then you go, hey, take a look at this.
Yeah.
You know, you do something like that. And as I was going up and just about ready to go, hey, take a... I looked around and I realized everyone was quiet and somebody was putting. And I went, whoa! Like, I pulled it back instantly. And I still remember that thinking, what would it have been like if I was so focused on reading this and did not notice my atmosphere, if I had yelled out as the guy was putting? Would they have kicked me out of the golf tournament?
I was
a split second away from blurting something out without recognizing the atmosphere I was. And I was like, why do I have to do this?
And I know I've told this story before. When you know, my youngest, or he's my 13-year-old now, or 12-year-old now, but when he was a couple months old, screamed or started crying during Phil Mickelson's putt.
Yeah, that's awesome. You took a baby to the West Management Open.
Yeah.
In Phoenix. Waste. That's great.
Waste Management
Open.
Yeah.
What did I say? Paste?
You said West.
Oh, wait. Well, yeah.
It's in the West.
No, I said waste, but I said it fast enough that you...
I don't listen.
That's right. But nevertheless, did Mickelson give you a ball and a glove?
No,
and
he just gave me that dad nod.
Yeah, like, I get it.
Like, you know, I was like, yeah, because he saw that I was walking away.
Right.
That I wasn't staying there to, you know, keep it going.
I would have been like, come back, scream, I don't care. Yeah. I hit a million of these a day. If I can't do it...
That's the thing, right? I mean, when you talk about tennis players, when you talk about golfers, I mean, that's all they do every single day.
Come on, let's be honest. It's muscle memory.
Baseball players do it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's muscle memory. You're lining up a shot. You're focused on the shot. Then you tell your body just repeats the motion. You don't need it to be pitch quiet.
No, how about this?
To when do you, that?
In tennis, when you start to get the long rallies, the crowd starts getting into it.
Yeah.
You know, and because you can't help it. And they're not, I don't hear the umpires saying, quiet, they're still in the game. They're still in the rally.
That's right. So, I know I like Wimbledon. By the way, there were three major things going on in England over the weekend. They had the British Grand Prix, Wimbledon, and then did you know the LIV Golf Tour was playing in London this weekend?
I did when I saw who won it. I didn't know before that.
Oh, no, Cam Smith won. See, and I actually had it on. I was flipping through. I did nothing yesterday but watched
it. Oh, was it televised?
Yeah, it was CW? On CW. It was
CW.
On CW. All right, I did not. It was rainy yesterday. I did nothing but watch TV. I watched Raiders of the Lost Ark on Disney Plus.
Nice.
I watched some of the Bills Cowboys Super Bowl on NFL Network. And then I saw LIV Golf on the CW on the guide. So I went to the guide, hit it, and I was like, I haven't seen a LIV Golf
did
on
you-
TV.
Keep it, did you keep it rolling and have the nightcap of USA versus Canada?
No, I did not.
I kept it on live,
though, just to kind of get a feel for the broadcast. Because, you know, they're all like it looks so casual because they're all in shorts.
Yeah.
And they're all in, like, semi-uniforms. They're all wearing team gear. And it looks a little weird. It looks a little weird. If you have never watched LIV Golf on TV, maybe you've seen some highlights. If you've never watched it on TV, it does have a celebrity pro-am atmosphere to it because of the casualness of it, which I like. But the crowds, there was actually some really good crowds there. They must be all in on this now.
The merger happens, are they going to adopt certain things? Like, is LIV going to go, okay, LIV, I know you like your 54 holes, but we're going to go to 72.
Right, right.
And does LIV go to PGA and go, PGA, I know you like your long pants.
But we got to wear shorts.
But, you know, we understand certain places dictate attire. Like, I know if we do anything at LA Country Club, you can't wear shorts.
Right.
That's just their rule. And, you know, we'll adhere to those. But some of these other courses, I think they can wear shorts at, right?
Sure.
You know, you can see patrons walking around. Or they're not all patrons, fans. They're only patrons at Augusta. Because Augusta, you can't wear shorts, can you?
Yeah. No, you can't wear shorts at Augusta. I don't think you can. I don't know. No, maybe you can in the casual day. I'm not sure.
See, the only one I know that has a strict dress code is LA Country Club, just because we talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly.
That they have a thousand-page rule book.
So you know what else I watched yesterday? Netflix. I didn't catch the 30 for 30 version of this, but Netflix has got a documentary on American Gladiators.
Okay.
So I finally popped that thing on yesterday. That was last night. I was watching a bit of that. That was fascinating. I wasn't a big American Gladiators
guy.
Which
angle did they talk about the creation of it?
Went through the whole thing. They went through from the very beginning, how it was put together, to getting the American Gladiators, the first Gladiators, and then how their life was on this trajectory where the first season was so bad they didn't think it would last, but it had popularity, and then the second season they put more money into it, and then they just became mega stars and they were on tour and filling up arenas, and then some of the issues that were going on behind the scenes. They talked about steroids and accusations of steroids and using steroids. And one Nitro is like heavily featured in this documentary. He's like, I had to go to Mexico to get steroids. Like, I was not kidding around. I was like, they were going to test me. I didn't care. I needed to keep this physique. It was nearly impossible to do it. And so I did whatever I had to do, and I got I got caught at the border. And he's like, it, the pressure to keep looking like the way we were looking was too much. You can't get like that at that, just going to the gym all the time. He's like, we needed to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Hulk Hogan. And like, so he was really honest about those years, and it was nuts. I enjoyed it. They didn't, you know what it was? It was, you know how we just talked about earlier this morning, we were talking about the home run derby, and we said people like, you know, people love the idea of it. They just didn't know how the format should be, so they just toyed with the format. The way the American Gladiators was formed in the late 80s, these two guys loved the idea of it so much, but they were like, we'll just play around with it until we get it right. Like, yeah. they thought it was like, we'll do these games, and if that, those aren't good, we'll do another ones. We'll make up more. We'll just keep this going. And, you know, they were like, we're getting tackled on concrete. We're getting knocked out, concussions, left and right. No safety. There's no ambulance nearby.
The one thing I liked was, like, the beginning, the first season, when they were sitting there going, like, we did the first season, but they were getting men like us.
Yeah, that's right. That's another thing they were saying. Yeah, that's another complaint that they had was, so they wanted the contestants to beat the gladiators occasionally, so they just found people that looked like them, and those are the so they didn't find Dan, you know, the accountant from Sheboygan, Wisconsin, who was like, I don't know, maybe I can beat Malibu in the joust.
I mean, he did, you know, he ran 5Ks.
Right.
That was it.
No, that was it.
They went and got, ex-football players. And
yeah, they were like, you're ex-football player, big, bulky guy who still spends 10 hours a day at the gym. How'd you like to go up against Nitro over here in the human cannonball?
Yeah, no.
And they were like, no, that's not how this works. All right, wake up call. We'll continue.